of Dollars. I think that's how we titled this year, and I'd like to explain to you, as I just voted, by the way, for the Orthodox Coalition downstairs, and I was discussing with one of the girls who was doing that, like, why I called this the beginning of Gullah. She said, wasn't there other Gullahs? I said, yes, the 10 tribes went into exile. We had Gullahs in Mitzrayim. But in terms of our contemporary Gullahs, just to understand where we are chronologically with Gullahs, with our exile, the Jewish people from the time Yehoshua marched into the land until the time of Al Maros, Babel, Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu Mizachinu at Sion, when Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel destroyed our holy, holy, holy temple. The Jewish people had lived in serene peace and in lots of chaos in various times, but had lived exclusively in the land that we love so much called Eretz Israel. They walk into to the lands of Babel. V'yashavnu gam bachinu v'zachrenu asim. We sat there and we cried. And we said, Im yeshkachev Yerushalayim, if I forget you, Yerushalayim, tishkach yemini, let me lose my right hand, tibach lashoni v'chiki imlo eskeleli. I will have my tongue stick to the top of my mouth if I don't remember you, Yerushalayim. Says Rabbi Bell Wine, who is contemporarily one of the greatest Jewish historians around. And history repeats itself because it's less than 70 years later, and what are they doing? They're partying at the party of Ahasuerush. Happy party! Let me lose my right hand. Let my tongue stick to the top of my mouth. And he says, this is the first experience of Jews in a strange land, and generally, it takes about 70 years for us to forget where we came from. And in fact, here we are in the United States of America. We have some unrest, but we're pretty much living it high for the most part. We're just about at that point, a little over post-Holocaust. And we forget, we're very comfortable. And this has happened in many different places in many different countries. And that is why Esther Hamalka, the Gemara Megillah tells us, has a very specific cry. And she says, Kitvuli Nadoros, I need to be included. Write me forever. As the Pasuk says in Megillah, Esther Tetzvach, Tetzvach Tiktov, Esther. Esther wrote down everything that happened, and in Lamed Beis, V'mamar Esther Kiyem Divrei HaPurim Ha'ela, V'nechtav B'Sefer. And everything that happened in the Purim story was written down in a Sefer, the Malbim says, Shamegillah Hazos Yesha'er Bein HaKsuvim. Esther wrote this down so it would be included in the Ksuvim. So just to give you an idea of historically what's happening at this point, why I call this the beginning of our exile, Esther's son, Esther, and Ahasuerus' son, his name is?
Dariavesh.
Darius. He allows the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. When Esther wants to go back to Eretz Yisrael, he is accompanied by what's called the Choresh and Masker, the Dalas Ha'am, the low lives. Nobody wants to go back because they're so comfortable in America. It's really the same. Nobody wants to go back. They're so comfortable, they don't want to go back, and it's only a percentage that goes back, and it goes back to the land of Israel. Israel at that point in time is not an independent country. What is it? It's still under Persian dominion. The Persians are conquered by, anyone know? Who comes next? The Persians destroy the Babylonians. Who destroyed the Persians? Greeks. That's our Hanukkah story. Always so confusing when we're in elementary school, right? How could Hanukkah happen after Purim if Purim always comes after Hanukkah? No one had that confusion? Yes, okay, we see some nodding heads, okay? This is how it happens, okay? This is the Persian exile. The Persians are destroyed by the Greeks. Now the land of Israel is under Greek occupation. The Greeks are not destroyed, but rather Rome grows from the wisdom of the Greek islands and the philosophies of the Greek island. And the Romans ultimately destroy that second Beis HaMikdash. So Esther, when she sends this, Kitva La Esther, Esther writes to the Chachamim, she writes, Kitvuni Lidoros, write me forever. I need to be included forever. She is crying out something very specific that, just to requote the Malbim, Mivur Kimizeh Hey Esther Rastasha Megillah Hazos Tisha'er Bein HaTzuvim. Esther wanted that the Megillah should remain among the Tzuvim, and I'm going to share with you an interesting historical point. So this point in time, when Darius or Daryavish allows the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash, we now have a new split Jewish community because some of the Jews are living in Persia and some of them are living in
Eretz Yisrael.
So that we have a split Jewish community, and from those places, they are going to continue to spread. In fact, we may have some Bukharian students in here, but I had a Bukharian student tell me this, and another one confirmed it, that their Mesorah is the following, that they never saw, she said, our family's Mesorah is, we never saw the second Beit HaMikdash. We never saw it. That the Bukharian community moved northeast from Bavel, and that their Mesorah is that they were originally Persian Jews that moved northeast, and that they were among the people who never saw the second Beit HaMikdash. So that was a reality. There was a large portion of Klal Yisrael that never saw the second Beit HaMikdash, and from there they spread. So that by the time the Romans destroy the second Beit HaMikdash, where else are Jews living? Other than in the lands of what we contemporarily call Iran and Iraq, and those are the oldest Jewish communities outside of Eretz Yisrael. What's the next oldest Jewish community? Anyone know? Rome. Okay, so they start moving that way over the Mediterranean, if you can picture your map. And we're essentially what is starting big time now, at that point in time, everybody, what do we call it? Exile, Galus, if you want to call it. We're being dispersed, the grand dispersion of the Jewish people. Esther is standing at a crucial time in history. She is standing at the time when her son allowed the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Jews who are in Eretz Yisrael established something that has never been before. There's been Sanhedrin many times. Now they have a group that's called Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. The men of the great assembly, 120 people who sat down together, convened and they made major decisions with the knowledge and the presence of mind to know that they were at such a very important time in history. What did they do? They established things for us. And more famous that a lot of us may have learned about is that they established Nosach HaTzvila. So they established how we daven, what the structure of a shachar is, what the structure of a mincha, what a structure of a mariv looks like. They also established, and basically I like to say, that be it if we daven Nesach Sfard, Nesach Ashkenaz, Eidut HaMizrach, like maybe we have a couple of extra psukim here or there, or maybe Baruch She'amar is like before or after, but is it pretty much the same? It may sound different, like a different tune, a different accent, but it's pretty much the same everywhere. They did that. They're aware of the potential danger of dispersion is the lack of consistency and unity in the Jewish people. So we need to establish, this is how we pray. What else did they establish? Which is where Esther is standing at the point in time. They closed something. Do you know what they closed? Tanakh. They closed Tanakh at that point in time. They closed Tanakh so that there are the five books of the Torah, the Sifrei Nevi'im that were included, that they included. At this point in time, you know what else is ending? Nevuah. So Nevuah is ending in the world, and chronologically, the last Sefer to get into Tanakh is, I'd rather not lean, huh, fun. The last Sefer to get in Tanakh is, guess what? Esther. They're about to close it. Kitva la Esther la Chachamim. She writes to the Chachamim, she says, Kizvuni ladoros, my story, it needs to be forever. Yes, Malka. So it's around the same point in time. But it seems like Ezra slid in and Esther has a battle. So it's about the same time. But these are the last ones. And
And she has the koach. She is a world queen at this point in time. And she says, my book needs to get in. If she's not the last, she's the second to last. It's about to close. She says, this story has to keep going. You have to keep hearing it. Why? Because Esther knew. Esther knew. She knew that it's going to happen. It's going to happen in Spain. It's going to happen in Germany. It's going to happen in Russia. It's going to happen in the United States. Jews are going to get comfortable. Let them learn from my lessons. Let them learn from my story. Because history in the Jewish people just repeats itself. And one of my favorite lines from Rabbi Wein is, we are the only people who have the same word for moving forward and looking back. What is it? If I want to look back at days of old, I call those days, Yimei Kedem. Okay, anyone go to Bnei Akiva? I did. Kadima Bnei Akiva. Right? What's Kadima? Move forward. Move forward. Look back, move forward. The same word. Because to move forward, we need to continue to look back. Okay, so let's start looking at her story because that's what she wants us to do. Esther min HaTorah Minayin, Maran Hulin asks, Kuf Lamed Tes, where do we learn Esther from? From the Psukim and Devarim, Lamed Aleph Yurches, Esther min HaTorah Minayin, Va'anochi Haster Aster Panay Bayom. I will surely hide my face. This is the beginning of Galus. I will surely hide my face. I will hide my face. You won't see me. Things are going to be unclear. Things are going to be confusing. You won't see me. You won't understand. There is so much that we don't understand. Rashi says, Bimei Esther yiyeh Hester panim. Umatzasan soros rabos veraos. And there will be a lot of soros. That's Hester Panim. A hard time. A lot of things happening that we really don't understand. A lot of things happening today that we don't understand. I just had a mother crying to me this morning in Costco. My son's getting married in a week and a half. He's in YU. Who's going to be at his wedding? I don't even know. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. That's Hester Panim. I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. It doesn't make sense. So much, it doesn't make sense. That's Hester Panim. In the days of Esther, there was Hester Panim like there hadn't been ever. And I'm going to share with you, I don't actually have it here in my notes, but it's my favorite, Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Hutner, on Purim. Rav Hutner quotes, I think it's a Yalkut that says, and there's different Gersos, I actually do have it here in my notes. I could flip through and take your time, but I don't want to. And actually, I think it is the Alkut Shimoni because there are different Gersos, as I just said, that say that Liasid Lavo, Kol Hamadim B'Telim, Chutz Mi Purim. In the future, all the holidays are going to go away, except for Purim. There's another Gerso that says maybe Hanukkah also, but definitely Purim is the one that will stay in the future when Mashiach comes. And the question obviously is, why? When I'm in a small group, I always have somebody make that sad face and say, but I love Pesach. Okay, we're talking about the other holidays, all the other holidays, which are Zecher Leitziat Mitzrayim, that's Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. I went out of order. That's okay. And He says, why would everything else go away but Purim stay? And he gives a mashal. And the mashal is a mashal to two men, we'll call them. Every typical Jewish mashal with men has, what are their names of the men? Reuven and Shimon. Yeah, the two of them, right? They're back again. And they're given a challenge. A group of people that they know are placed in a cave. And it's pitch black, it's night. And they're given a challenge. They're going to go in separately, one at a time. And they are going to come out and list who's in the cave. Now, Reuven is given a candle. How much accuracy will he have? What percentage? Everybody. 100%. Okay, Shimon doesn't have a candle. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Don't be shy.
Talk to them.
Talk to them. Beautiful. I usually have somebody say, touch them. And it's just a funny moment, so I like to just put it in, even though you said the right answer. And I say, yeah, my husband's friends, he should live and be well. He's probably been too stern to speak. Levi Greenspan, he's been blind for almost 20 years. He says, yeah, people always ask him, does he recognize people by touching them? He says, yeah, sure. I go over to people and say, hello, how are you? The reason that people say touch, by the way, is because everybody read the story of Helen Keller, who was blind and deaf. So that if a person doesn't have vision, the next sense that they're going to go to is hearing, and the next one will be touch. So both of those things will get stronger. But in this particular context, it's a room. He knows that the people in the room are going to be people that he knows. And he's going to talk to them and hear their voices. What number accuracy would you say he has? Percentage?
38%.
38. Thank you, Serena. I would think if he knows the people and he knows their voices, he probably could be somewhere 60, 70, even 80, maybe. Depends. It depends, yeah. It depends on Shimon. Oh, well, he's not allowed to. That's not in the rules. She asked, he could ask them who they are. That's not in the rules. That wouldn't be a good challenge. Says Rav Huttner, in the morning, when the sun comes out, has anybody ever experienced real, real dark? Did anyone live where Hurricane Sandy happened? Just me? Yes, you? Anybody else in the back? Do you remember when there were no streetlights? Very dark, dark, dark. But when the morning, and you can see all the stars, I remember looking up on my street and far up, and like, wow, sky's amazing. Street lamps are preventing us from seeing the stars. I'm sure there's a lot of symbolism in that. But think about it. Not just good to see stars. Anyway, says Rav Huttner, the Jewish people, I'm sorry, Jewish people are in the conversation, but we're not talking about the Jewish people. We're still in the mashal. In the morning, when the light of the sun comes out, is Reuven going to need his candle? He says, no, it's going to be batel. It's going to be nothing. He can throw out the candle. We don't need it. Will Shimon need his heightened sense of improved hearing? Will he need it to recognize people? No. Will he still have it? Yes. Says Rav Huttner, an amazing message. And I said, this is the first experience. This is the first experience in this kind of galus of Anochi Haster Aster Panai, of confusion. How much confusion do we have? How many times are we confused? How much don't we understand? This is the first time that Anochi Haster Aster Rashi says, Dabu Lashon, really a lot of tzaros. Very confusing, very misunderstanding. This is the first time that the Jewish people have to find God even though he's hiding. All the other holidays, so now we're moving to our Nimshal, are Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, right? They're a memory of Mitzrayim. You know what Mitzrayim was? Mitzrayim was a great big candle. Did you see God? You know which Anochi was in Yitzhak Mitzrayim? Anochi? Hashem Elokecha, hello. I'm here. I am putting fire in ice. I like that one a lot. I think that's very, very cool. Barad. I am putting fire in ice. Hello, I'm God. All the things he did. Your animals die, our animals live. The locusts, you know, they make you crazy, we're fine. Our crops are destroyed, your crops are fine. He split the sea. Hello, I'm God. That is a big candle. That is like a flashlight. This is Hashem, I'm here. And then all the miracles in the desert, could you imagine? And then they go into Eretz Yisrael and all the miracles that happen in the Mishkan daily, and then they build a base of Mikdash. Amazing. Amazing. One of the two amazing things that I love, I just heard a second one today. Now I have to remember where I heard this. Goodness gracious, I hear so many different things. But one of the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash that I love, and maybe some of you have learned it before, is that in typical old-fashioned homes when they did not have electricity, windows would be narrower on the outside and become wider as they came into the house, so that the light, when it entered the house, what would happen? It would spread, it would diffuse around the house. And the windows of the Beis HaMikdash, does everybody know? What were they?
Opposite.
The Beis HaMikdash lit up the whole land of Israel. Somebody was just reading this chazal, and now I can't remember where. There's a chazal that says that no one in Yerushalayim, no woman in Yerushalayim, ever needed or would wear perfume. Do you know why? The smell of the Ketores was so strong that that's what everybody smelled everywhere. That's how powerful it was. That's how powerful the Ketores was. It was just everywhere. Everybody smelled it. Were they living with miracles? Yes. We sat there at the river of Abba and we cried. It's okay to us too. If I forget you, what you were, we know we're never going to see it again. And by the way, that second Beis HaMikdash did not have the miracles of the first Beis HaMikdash for the most part. It wasn't the same. They say that the old people who had seen the first one, remember it's only 70 years apart, cried when they saw the second one. Right? And we only wish we could see the second one, right? We wish. We wish. So that came this time of Hester Panim, going back to Shimon in our mashal. We don't have a candle lighting up God anymore. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Now it's Anochi Haster Aster Pan. I am hiding. What are we going to need to do? We're going to need to figure out how to find God in our lives, even though he's hiding. We're going to have to look for him, listen for him, smell for him, touch for him, experience him. He's there. But it's up to you to find him now. It's not as obvious. Anochi haster aster panai mikem. And yet, Esther says, let me tell you my story. Because there was a lot of Hester Panim. And things were hidden. And things did not make sense. And things seemed very concealed. And in this point in time, sometimes when we don't see God, what do we say? He's not there. He's not there. Rav Hirsch says that Haman HaRasha said, Yesh no am echad, there is this nation, Yashanu. They've gotten old. They're finished with their God. They're not so into him anymore. Now I can get them. Now I can get them. It's not going to happen. Haman taught the world, Rav Hirsch said, that he thought that by finding the weakness in the Jewish people, he could bring out their destruction. And what he actually taught the Jewish people is that by assimilating and acculturating, You're never going to make it in any foreign land. That is the lesson of Purim. We are strangers in a strange land. This is not your place. And it's unfortunate because it really does happen throughout history. Rav Aryeh Leib Shapira in his Sefer Chazon Lamoed quotes the piyut Shoshanas Yaakov Tzahala V'Samecha, just to get you in the mood, just so you're not sure if you've heard it or if you know what it is. Shoshanas Yaakov Tzahala V'Samecha V'Yerosam Yachat Tzchilas Mordechai. Yes? Juasam, Juasam, Hachu, right? Yeah, got there. V'Sikvasam B'chol Dar V'Dar. Okay, the Teshua of Purim, Chuatam, is not Hachuatam, it's Teshuatam, it is their salvation. Hayita LaNetzach, you are going to be, when? What Netzach? Forever. Forever, v'tikva tam, and their tikva is their hope. L'chol dor vador. That was the message. Two messages. Don't get too comfortable in your foreign land, number one. Number two, I'll always be there for you. I'm not going away. Lo me'astim v'lo ge'altem l'chalosam. I will never, ever be despised of you. I will never want to get rid of you. You will never disappear. And here we are 2,000 years later. Amazing. Esther says, Kisvuri Ladoros, write me forever. The Jewish people needs to continue to hear that lesson forever and ever and ever and ever. Lidor Vadar Nagib Gavrecha, we say in our Kedusha, we're going to talk about how great you are forever. Ulinetzach Netzachim Kedusha Sanatish. Let's make a Kiddush Hashem wherever we are. Purim is, the name of this piyut is Shoshanas Yaakov. A Shoshana is a rose. Anybody here named Shoshana? We have one over there. Go you. You're a rose. Shoshana Yaakov, the rose of Yaakov Tzahala. She was Tzahala. What's Tzahala? Thrilled. Very happy. If you flip around the words of Tzahala, what do you have? Hatzala. She was saved. Of course she's thrilled. The rose is thrilled. She was saved. Tahala Hatzala. This is the Jewish people in Galus. They are a rose. And the rose, we know, there are some flowers, you know, you get those flowers, particularly the one that's very popular today. What would you say is the most popular expensive flower today? No, not baking flour. Flowers. Like roses. What do people like? You want to buy somebody a really nice flower? I can tell you because I get them a lot as gifts. You have to put an ice cube in once a month. Yeah. Once a week, just an ice cube. And it will. What do our orchids do? Bend. What do roses do? Up. Straight up. He says, Ma Shoshana Liba La Shamayim Kach Yisrael. Just like the Shoshana has her heart up to the heaven, Kach Yisrael Libam LaShamayim. When they realized what kind of trouble they had gotten themselves into, what did they do? They did tshuva. They reconnected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kimu v'kiblu. That Shoshanas Yaakov. And the Teshuva did not come just like by itself. They really thought that they were going to die. They were afraid they were going to die. And they saw something so amazing. You want to know the Minahafahu? The Minahafahu, one of the most amazing ones that he points out here, is that they saw that the Teshuva can come from anyone. Who wrote to destroy them? Who stamped and sealed? What was his name? King Ahasuerus. Who saved them in the end? King Ahasuerus. What do you know? Even from the Roshaim, even from the wicked ones, you could still have a salvation. You never know who is going to be the Shaliach HaTov to do a good thing for Klal Yisrael. Right? We're living in those times. in Yerushalayim. We have no idea. We have no idea who is going to do good for Klal Yisrael, that it could come from anywhere, it could come from anything, it could come from the very person who signed the declaration to destroy us. His son is going to allow the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. That is a tzahala, v'sameacha, that is amazing. Amazing. That even though Gullus is so long, we should be mitchazek, we should be strengthened to know it can come from anywhere, at any time, keheref ayin, in a second. I want to share with you, because I taught Miglos Esther for a very long time, and I didn't this year, so I miss it, but I want to share with you an interesting historical fact that I didn't plan on it, but it came to my heart right now, so I'm going to share it with you anyway. I've been noticing over the last couple of years as a Rebbetzin who collects and gives away about 100-something Mishloach Manos each year. They come in the back, in the front of the house, go out the back of the house. The themes have not been so interesting. And in Israel, people really put Chachma into their Mishloach Manos. Why am I telling you this? Because one of my friends, when I was living in Israel, her theme of Mishloach Manos was mail, M-A-I-L, like postage. The history of mail. And she actually had printed, this was actually before Chacham Google, so she actually had to do a little research for herself. And she actually researched when mail systems developed in the world, and the Persian Empire, they were the first ones to develop mail systems. Why does that make sense? Somebody? History person? Or sociology person? Anybody? Thank you, Malka. Yeah?
They just had a very, very large empire.
They were the first large empire. So they are going to be the ones who need to get messages everywhere. And when you read the Megillah next week, you'll notice this. What are they doing throughout the Megillah? Haratzim yatsu b'chufim. They're running all over the place. The horses are just running, delivering mail. They're just going everywhere throughout the Megillah, delivering mail. And the Persians are the first ones to send it. The Gemara says in Megillah, Il male igros rishonos lo hayu l'am Yisrael sheir supleita. Had there not been, this is just a funny side commercial for Megillah's Esther, there would not have been remaining in the people of Israel, no one, everybody would have died. Does anyone remember what the first letter was that was sent in our Megillah story? Yes, Mary. Not to look, but at that point in time, he's going to look for another wife, and they're going to send out a letter corroborating what happened with Vashti, which was, what's the instructions? The Os Koli Sharer Bebeso. Every man is going to rule his house. Umizaber. How ridiculous is that? What languages do families speak at home? The mothers or the fathers? Mothers. What names do children end up being called? What their father calls them or their mother calls them? Mothers. What a ridiculous letter. Like I really, Rashi says there. Can a man even force his wife to cook him whatever kind of soup he wants? He's gonna ask for beans and she's gonna make lentils. The men get these letters and they say, they think every man's gonna rule his roost and the family's gonna speak his language. Guess what? Ahasuerus' letters are a joke. That's what the Malbim says. And what are the next letters gonna say?
Kill the Jews.
Kill the Jews. We don't know if we're taking Ahasuerus' letters so seriously. Isn't that gorgeous? It's the Malbim on that Gemara. We don't know how much Hashgacha Pratis in this story, how much we can find Hashem in so many things. Who starts the mail system in the history of the world? Persia. Who benefits from it? The Jewish people. Okay, here's an interesting one. The Sifrei Kabbalah write that the 12 months of the year correspond to the first 12 brachos of Shemona Esrei. Guess what is the 12th bracha in Shemoneh Esrei. V'la malshinim al tahi tikva. Heretics have no hope. How did we close our Shoshan Asyakov? V'sikva sam, or v'tikva tam, however you want to say it, v'chol, door by door. V'la malshinim al tahi tikva, v'chol, harisha, kerega toveid. What can God do to anything evil? He can have it fall in a second. I read a piece on Megillas Esther from Rav Rimon in Eretz Yisrael, and he says, Pasuk says, I think it's in Yirmiyahu, Mayim rabim lo yachu l'chavos esha'ava ad shetechbaz. The love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael, no water can ever wash it out. It's never going away. Kol harisha kerega toveid. In a second, it's gone. It's just gone. It's absolutely gone. Haman went from being on top of the world to being nidchach v'chafuifoy rosh. A dirty, dirty head. Pleading for his life to Esther Hamalka. That's how fast bad can fall. I taught for years the 13 principles of faith of the Rambam. And I have this in my notes because it's such a fantastic testimony to what God can do. So the Rambam says that we have to believe in the power of Nevuah, the Koach of Nevuah. Rav Yaakov Weinberg, who writes a commentary on Megillas Esther, says, why do we have to believe in the power of Nevuah? We have to believe that God could communicate directly to man. If we believe that our, and this is a side point to bring out a main point, if we believe that our leaders are just inspired, isn't every great dictator and despot inspired? Isn't that true? Aren't they all inspired by something? They believe in what they're living for? We have to believe in Nevuah. Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Moshe heard directly from God. So in my notes when I started this teaching this class about 19 years ago, I wrote, isn't Arafat inspired? And then what did I do? I crossed him out. Then it changed to, isn't Saddam Hussein inspired? And then what did I do? I crossed him out. Then it changed to, isn't Osama bin Laden inspired? And then what did I do? What did I do to him? I crossed him out. Then I had, isn't Ahmadinejad inspired? And then what did I do? Crossed him out. We should keep crossing people out. But this is in a short amount of time, and we see. V'chol harisha kerega toveid. Wickedness can be gone in a second. Esther Hamalka says, kitvuli ledoros. Write me forever. You need to have my story forever. Lamashinim have no tikva. Yirmiyahu Navi says to, in his Navi speaking about Rachel Imenu, what does she tell her? To her he says, yesh tikva la'achariseich. You have hope. V'shavu banim l'gvula. Your children will come back. We are a people of tikva, not incidental that the state of Israel chose to name their anthem. Ha-tikva. Tikva is the belief, not just that it could be, but it will be. It will be. It will be. I believe in a full heart that it will be. There will be another Beis HaMikdash. There will be Geula. Mashiach will come. Everybody knows, or maybe you don't know yet, that one of the most famous English songs that has been a hit for history and history, I have a mic now so I can have more fun than I do in the other room, was actually written by Jews. I don't have in my notes, I don't have their names. And Dorothy is the one who sings it in Oz. But what do they believe, these two Jews who wrote the song? Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high. What is there? What do I believe? There's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. It's really there. That's tikva. It's really there. It's there. I believe it. It's there. There's a base of English. It's waiting to come down. V'tikva tam b'chol dor v'dor. Do you know that
they say historically one of the most disappointing moments for film survivors when Russian, American, and British troops liberated them from Auschwitz. You know what the most disappointing thing was? What did they really believe if they were living in that Gehenna? What did they believe? They believed Mashiach was gonna redeem them. It didn't happen yet. The Shoshana, the girl says, normally having thorns would tear you and rip you. The Shoshana gets stronger and more beautiful. That is the tenacity, the resilience that the Beis HaLevi says that is Klal Yisrael. That's who we are. We are one resilient people. We are a people, you push us down, and what do? We get right back up. We have a couple of Muncie girls here sitting in the room. Hanukkah, we experienced a heinous murder. No, there was no murder, a crime. I don't know how that man is doing. Does anyone know? There was somebody who was severely, severely injured. That loves it. He's still pretty bad. He's alive, so it's not a murder yet. But it was meant to be a massacre. You know what they did the next night on the same place? It was posted everywhere. What happened in the same place the next night? They had a Hachnasa Sefer Torah. They danced a new Torah into that shul. We are one stubbornly resilient people. And Emirat Hashem, the tikva of Klal Yisrael, b'chol dor v'dor. It is a muna shleima shehakadosh baruch hu kol yachol. He is all able. That is the message of the Purim story, v'tikva tam b'chol dor v'dor. Anything is possible. Hakadosh baruch hu is all able. I can find him in every generation. I can find him wherever I am. That is why Esther Hamalka says, learn my story every year. Read it again and again and celebrate the fact that they're never going to bring us down. Have a happy, happy, happy Freilach Purim ahead, everybody. Enjoy the Simcha. Feel it in your heart. Feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's wonderful being here.